Iran says the era of hit-and-run attacks by Israel is over, warning the regime of a crushing response if it harms Tehran's role in Syria. Afghanistan vows to track down those responsible for an attack in Kabul that killed at least 10 people on Saturday. And Britain's finance minister says the novel coronavirus has put enormous strain on the British economy. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran has warned Israel of a crushing response if Tel Aviv attempts to harm Tehran's advisory role in Syria.
Iran's presence in Syria is advisory, and naturally, if anyone disrupts this advisory presence, our response will be a crushing one.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman said Israel is well aware that the era of hit-and-run is over, and therefore it is moving very cautiously. He said Israel's aggressive nature is irremediable and called for resistance against the regime. Israel has claimed that it has targeted Iranian military sites during its recent attacks on Syria. Iran says its military advisors are in Syria to help government forces in their anti-terror campaign. Author and journalist Robert Fantina says Israel finds any independent nation in the Middle East a threat to its existence.
Israel is supporting terrorists who seek to overthrow the government of Syria. Iran is working against those terrorists in support of the Syrian government, which it is allied with, and is doing so is completely legitimate. Israel's support of these terrorist organizations and its bombing of Iranian in the country assisting Syria is certainly a criminal activity, but as the Iranian spokesman mentioned, Israel doesn't care about such things. Its violent nature is well known. It will continue to support these terrorists until Syria and Iran and some other allies are able to drive them out. Israel sees any nation, any independent nation in the Middle East, as a threat to its existence and to its more than that, to its power. U.S. administrations have always been extremely supportive of Israel for reasons that are completely inexplicable unless you look at the amount of money that pro-Israeli lobbies donate to members of Congress for their election and re-election campaigns. We are seeing a difference now. There's been a crack in that surface of that unilateral support or universal support for Israel. Progressive Democrats are questioning Israel far more than they have in the past.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has slammed the Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, saying the regime is to blame for the new escalation. Hamas spokesman Fawzi Barhoum added that Israel is responsible for everything that happens in Gaza because of the regime's continued blockade and attacks on the coastal enclave. Barhoum stressed that the resistance is only acting in self-defense, and a veiled reference to rocket fires from the Strip. Israeli military conducted airstrikes on the cities of Gaza and Khan Yunis overnight. Israeli tanks also hit a Hamas outpost in the town of Rafah. The regime claimed they were responding to rocket fire from the Strip, though no Palestinian group claimed a responsibility. Israel has been conducting similar strikes on Gaza over the past months. Iran has called for the removal of sanctions against Syria, particularly during the coronavirus pandemic. Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif called the sanctions cruel. He also criticized certain countries for undermining the political resolution of the crisis in Syria. Zarif said several good opportunities to resolve the crisis arose in recent years, but he added they were squandered by those countries. A top Iranian diplomat was speaking in Tehran during a meeting with the UN envoy for Syria, Geir Pedersen, for his part, underscored Iran's cooperation with the United Nations to resolve the crisis in Syria. The Arab state has been targeted by Western sanctions in recent years while grappling with foreign-backed insurgency. And now it's time for this hour's news review. Afghanistan's Vice President Amrullah Saleh has pledged to bring to justice those responsible for Saturday's rocket attack in the capital, Kabul. Saleh said the government will also find out the networks who facilitated in transporting materials used in the attack. He said 10 people were killed and another 51 wounded. Officials said at least 23 rockets hit several densely populated districts, including in and around the heavily fortified Green Zone. Several buildings were damaged, including the Iranian embassy and a medical complex. The Daesh terror group claimed responsibility for the attack. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program out of Kabul, Amin Alami, and out of Toronto, journalist and commentator Fayez Sahak. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start it off with Amin. What more do we know about those attacks that took place yesterday?
Well, Marzia, as you mentioned, the recent rocket attacks on Kabul claimed the lives of 10 individuals, according to Amrullah Saleh, the first Afghan vice president, and injured 50 others. In the meantime, the Afghan vice president, Amrullah Saleh, who has served as the head of the country's intelligence body for several years, is well known as the most anti-Taliban figure among the rest of Afghan government officials. He said that the investigations are underway regarding to this rocket attacks on Kabul, despite the Daesh terrorist group claim responsibility for this attack. It proves that Mr. Saleh does not confirm this attack that was carried out by the Daesh terrorist group, according to its claim. The first Afghan vice president also confirmed this incident as a failure for the Afghan government. But let's not forget that many other Afghan politicians and Afghan government officials have repeatedly blamed the Taliban militant group for launching such attacks, mainly attacks on civilian areas and on educational and public sites. This comes as the Taliban militant group has also repeatedly denied being involved in launching attacks mainly on civilian areas. But the Afghan government officials argue that since the Taliban has not acted in accordance to their promises during negotiations in the Qatari capital, Doha, and prior to this negotiation, it shows that the militant group is after highlighting the security weaknesses of the Afghan government. Afghan security officials here, mainly in the Afghan Interior Ministry and Afghanistan's Defense Ministry, as well as the intelligence body of the country, the NDS, have repeatedly said that the Taliban is after hiding the real face of themselves behind such masks. That is why they do not confirm responsibility for targeting civilians and targeting innocent people inside Afghanistan. But let's not forget that many others also argue that since the Taliban has its own regional and international supporters, it's the time for the Afghan government to directly make contacts with those backers and players and convince them to pay attention to at least the lives of rural people here in this country and put an end to the decades-long misery of the oppressed nation of Afghanistan.
Okay. Thanks, Amin. Well, Fayez, your take on this. We have seen an uptick of violence taking place in Afghanistan over the last few months. Your assessment as to why that is the case, and who do you really think is behind it? Because with Daesh, on the one hand, we saw with the Kabul University tragedy that initially Daesh also took responsibility, and then we heard something else from government sources. So your take on all of this?
Well, the interesting part about the recent upsurge of violence in Afghanistan is that it's only Daesh that claims responsibility for almost all of the attacks. We can't disregard the involvement of the Taliban insurgents in such attacks. They have very close ties. They have just changed their flag now. But we understand that based on many assessments that have been done in recent months in that part of the world, it's that Taliban is still reigns supreme and they still continue to control over 75% of the Afghan territory. I personally believe that it's all about the peace talks that continues still in Qatar. We understand that a large number of Afghan politicians, Afghan negotiators are now in Doha. They met with the Americans. They have also met with the Taliban leaders there, and the Taliban wants to have more leverage in these peace talks. Now they have increased their attacks in Kabul, sadly against civilians. We see that civilians are killed almost every day now by this insurgent group. Women are killed, rocket attacks, the bombings in Kabul University and hospitals, as Amin has pointed out. And the Afghan government is now under immense pressure by the Taliban insurgents and also by groups that support the Taliban to accept their terms and conditions and agree to a new deal in addition to the deal that the Taliban signed with the Americans, and let the Taliban continue controlling most of the territories. But President Ashraf Ghani, I believe, is a smart person. He's not going to do that at all. He has clearly pointed out to that in his recent meeting with Imran Khan, the Pakistani Prime Minister, in his presidential palace, that the Taliban have to accept the current Afghan constitution and come and join the current political structure of Afghanistan, something that the Taliban don't want. What the Taliban want is a clear amendment of the current constitution of Afghanistan so that they have a new political setup in the country, and they don't want to see the current Afghan politicians in power anymore. But it's not only the Taliban, there are also many other political parties in Afghanistan that are competing for power. So it's not an easy job to bring all these political parties together mm-hmm. and bring peace and stability in that country. I think the Afghans have to brace themselves for even tougher times to come if things don't go right in the political in the peace process.
Well, thank you both for being with us. Out of Kabul, Amin Alemi, and out of Toronto, Faiz Sahak, journalist and commentator. Now, the Center for Human Rights in the Yemeni province of Taiz says children's rights are being violated due to Saudi atrocities. The center said more than 850 children in Taiz have either been killed or injured by Saudi attacks. It said the attacks have also destroyed scores of schools, while the rest have turned into military bases used by the enemy. The Taiz Human Rights Center slammed the international community for its silence and held it responsible for the violation of Yemeni children's rights. Saudi Arabia launched its war on Yemen back in March of 2015. The conflict has killed tens of thousands of people, mostly civilians.
With almost 100,000 children under the age of 5 at risk of dying, Yemen slides into a dire situation. Here lies the 9-month-old Munir struggling to survive a severe malnutrition.
This is my son Munir. We've been here for a week. We want to treat him for malnutrition, and God helps us. We're resisting this savage war.
The ongoing war and siege imposed by Saudi Arabia has brought a severe famine described by the UN as the worst humanitarian crisis in the world.
There is an increase in malnutrition cases. Yemeni children are suffering from malnutrition in all governorates, and we receive 50 to 60 cases per day. There is a shortage of medical equipment like CT scanners.
The UN's former humanitarian coordinator for Yemen described the country's food security status as catastrophic. Now, a UN analysis shows that the coronavirus pandemic, economic problems, and the war have pushed malnutrition the highest levels in some parts of the country. According to the UN study, malnutrition has risen 15% among children under the age of 5 this year.
We condemn and denounce the continued international silence about the blockade imposed on Yemen and the failure to take any measures against the Saudi coalition, which has exacerbated human suffering, especially for children.
Millions of children in Yemen could be pushed out of starvation by the end of the year, as the humanitarian crisis is compounded by the ongoing war and the blockade, along with the pressure of funding shortage as the world grapples with the coronavirus pandemic. Abdul Latif Al Washali, Sana'a.
The British Finance Minister says there will be no return to austerity in an upcoming spending plan, despite problems caused by the COVID pandemic.
You will not see austerity next week. What you will see is an increase in the government spending on day-to-day public services, you know, quite a significant one, coming on the increase that we had last year. So I think there's absolutely no way in which anyone could say that's austerity.
In an interview with Sky News, Sunak said the British economy is experiencing enormous strain and stress. He said a public pay freeze can happen and said large employment fluctuations are among the main issues to be considered in the government spending review next week. Britain has suffered its biggest economic crash in more than 300 years due to the pandemic. The country is the hardest hit European state by the disease. Britain has so far confirmed more than 54,000 deaths out of 1.5 million infections. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of Parstoday. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this very cool and pretty Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is a program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So, dear listeners, contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then start. Record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, this program is your program. It's your views that are important. Dear listeners, keep us company until the end of the program. You're listening to the Sunday program, Listeners Special, and I have to note that many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us in IRIB English Radio to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report normally will be receiving a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. But unfortunately these days, as you know, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. I mean, a paper QSL card. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. Anyway, here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Shivan Paul from India, Dimitri Elagin from Russia, and Rasem Ben Brahim from Tunisia. Shivan Paul, Dimitri Elagin, and Rasem Ben Brahim, we want you to know that how much we in IRIB English Radio support, you know, value your support and commitment to our radio. Also, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, which I mention some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Hector Fria Jorge from Chile, Mahfouz from India, KP Munir from UAE has sent us an email, Divan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh has sent us an email, and Konstantin Barsenkov from Russia. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds after the music. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with a lot of emails and letters from around the world, including from an email from Hector Fria Jorge from Chile. Hector Fria Jorge from Chile is one of our regular listeners who says, I remember when I was a kid around 10 years old, one day I noticed a big radio with a green light and changing colors. It also had a screen which would show the dial where the signals were propagated. New York, London, Bonn, Madrid, Sydney, Tehran, and thus several names of big cities. Today, after over 50 years, it fills me with joy to know that through radio, people like me could connect and get to know different cultures and customs of many countries. At the age of 23, I started listening regularly to the radio, and I discovered that with a special antenna for shortwave, that wooden box could turn into a magic box. That radio was just like a window that could show you beyond the geographical borders. The shortwave has brought me a great deal of knowledge about the countries around the world because this window has allowed me to travel without moving from my desk to know firsthand news and to discover the truth. Ah, well, greetings to you, Hector Fria Jorge from Chile, and many thanks for writing this really, really inspiring email to IRIB English Radio. You know, I'm really filled with joy after I read your email. Your description of radio and its development to shortwave radio was so interesting. Personally, it made my day reading your email, describing shortwave radio and generally radio. It's an honor to receive such interesting and exciting email from you, Hector Fria Jorge from Chile. And thank you for sharing your experience about listening to radio and its development to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for writing this email to us. Hector Fria Jorge from Chile, we are waiting for more emails from you. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Please share more experiences of yours about listening to radio to us in upcoming emails, and tell us which programs in IRIB English Radio you like the best. Thank you again. We are waiting forward to hearing from you very soon. Also, here, we have an email from India. This email is from Mahfuz. Mahfuz says, please convey my regards to your entire colleagues. Hope you're doing well. I'm also fine. In the attachment, I'm sending IRIB English Program Monitoring Report. Please review the monitoring report. I will be grateful to you if you can issue a printed QSL card for me. Please visit my Facebook group page, where I post my QSL cards collection from all around the world. Thank you for your nice cooperation in advance. Thanks and best regards. Mahfuz from India, first of all, greetings to you and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We also hope you're doing fine. We've received the attachment you mentioned in your email. As you said, this is the IRIB English Program Monitoring Report and review. We also received that report, and we are grateful for that. And thank you for mentioning your Facebook group page. We will review that also. And regarding your request about sending paper QSL card, as I mentioned at the introduction of our program, sending any material during these days, the outbreak of coronavirus, and regarding the observation of health protocols about sending any item to other countries, sending any promotional item like souvenirs and paper QSL cards is temporarily halted on behalf of IRB English Radio. So please be patient until this disease is controlled around the world, and then we can send you and other listeners around the world the paper QSL cards and other promotional items. Thank you for writing this email to us, Mahfuz from India. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Konstantin Barsenkov. This dear friend says, thank you for your interesting programs and informative news bulletins. It's a great chance for us to hear the world news from alternative media and not just the mainstream media. Thank you all and the best wishes for you from Russia. And greetings to you, Konstantin Barsenkov from Russia. I hope you're doing well, and also it's a great pleasure for us to have you as a listener. We are so glad that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, they're interesting, and also you said our news bulletins are informative. Thank you. Our effort in IRIB English Radio has been providing our dear listeners around the world with the best and, unbiased, non-partial, and correct news from around the world. Thank you again for writing to us, Konstantin Barsenkov from Russia. Write to us soon. Also, from Bangladesh, we have an email from Divan Rafiqul Islam. Divan Rafiqul Islam is one of our regular listeners who says, greetings to all of your staff. I have the privilege to regularly listen to your daily programs. I'm also glad to inform you that I visit your website and read daily news whenever I get the chance. I should tell you that these days, many young people in my region are becoming more and more interested in listening to radio programs, and I hope that they can send you and other radio stations their reception reports and collect QSL cards. It would be a great pleasure if you can send me few promotional materials via post in future when the coronavirus is gone. Thank you in advance. And salam and greetings to you, Divan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. We're so glad that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, you enjoy the broadcast and the website. And it's a pleasure that you read our daily news in the website and listen to IRIB English radio programs. Divan Rafiqul Islam, as you said, after the coronavirus is gone, we can get back to normal life and send you promotional items of IRIB English radio. Thank you again for writing this email to us. Write to us very soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and in your upcoming letters, tell us which programs you like the best. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from KP Munir from the UAE. KP Munir says, Assalamu alaikum. Hope you're doing well. Yesterday, I had the chance to listen to your English language broadcast and I heard the news program. Nice news broadcast. Please find the attached audio clip of the program. I've listened. Please verify and acknowledge. KP Munir from the UAE, salam and greetings to you. And thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. We are very glad that you've received the signals of IRIB English Radio in your country. And as you said, you heard a piece of news and you attached the program you listened. Thank you again. Write to us soon. KP Munir from the UAE. Well, dear listeners, time tells me that here we've reached to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Hope you'll enjoy it.
My name's Christopher Lewis. I've been a listener to the IRIB English Radio for nearly 16, 17 years, probably a little bit longer now. I'm just interested in shortwave broadcasts in general, Iran in particular, and events in and around the Middle East. I've just had a general interest in shortwave for a long, long time, and very interested in cultures as well. First and foremost, with IRIB, I like listening to the news. That's one feature I've always looked forward to listening to, and also news commentaries, because it's not just international news, it's regional and local news that I'm interested in, and IRIB, for me, delivers that. It's concise. The news is put together very, very well. It's gathered very well. It's accurate. And also other programs afterwards, news analysis, commentary about events in general, world events, and Iran's view on what's happening in the world, not only close to home, but also around the globe itself. I also enjoy listeners' programs and to find out what other listeners think of IRIB and what other stations they listen to, what their view is on Iran and Iran's views about the world. As concerns the general program output, I think IRIB has got a more varied amount of programs than some Western broadcasters, in the fact that a lot is fit into the one-hour broadcast time. And the time is used very, very wise. It's diverse, it's kept interesting, and it features a good about culture as well, about Iran and Iran's views on politics and Iran's relations with other countries around the world. So it's more varied program-wise, which keeps things interesting. I think it's very important as a listener that things are kept interesting and not just rehashed all the time. Which is what IRIB always manages to create an interesting listener, which has probably kept me tuned in for so long. So I just encourage everybody to carry on tuning in to IRIB, sending your reception reports, which I know are very useful to
we wrap up this week's edition of Listener's Special. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be looking at a problem which is very important, and that is the following question and problem. How can we reconcile the belief that God is the creator of all things with the idea, which we feel is intuitively true, that we are also agents of the effects that we feel intuitively feel stem from us? The belief that God is the creator of all things is a basic tenet of our faith and the faith of all religions. For example, in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ra'd, verse 16, God says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qulillahu khaliqu kulli shay. Say that God is the creator of all things. It's very clear that the Quran is saying that God is the creator of all things. In other verses, we have something similar being expressed. For example, in Surah Zumar, verse 62, God says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. God is the creator of all things. In Surah Fatir, verse 3, God says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhan nas, udhkuru ni'matullah alaykum, hal min khaliqin ghayrullah. This is addressed in the form of a question, which obviously seeks to negate the thing that God is asking about. Is there any creator for you besides God? The answer to the question is no. There is no creator besides God. At the same time, we feel that intuitively we know and we feel that we are the agent in the production of certain effects, and we act in this way. The question arises is how can we reconcile these two beliefs and these two propositions with one another without them contradicting one another. For certain individuals, this was a very difficult problem for the following reason. They said that once God creates something, once he grants existence to something, this thing becomes self-sufficient and no longer needs God in the continuation of its existence. Therefore, if we say that this thing in the continuation of its existence produces a certain effect, we can't say that God is the ultimate cause of that effect, right? Because in its subsistence and in the continuation of its existence, this thing no longer needs God. So we can't say that God is the cause of this thing, and this thing is the cause of and the agent of a certain effect. So ultimately, this effect is the product and the effect of God. No, because in the continuation of its existence, this thing becomes cut off from God. So for these people, these people were forced to say that God is the immediate creator of this effect. Obviously, because of that, they began to fall into a precarious and difficult situation with respect to explaining free will. They explain it by saying that once a person makes the intention to perform a certain deed, God, looking at this intention, creates the effect within this person. This person is the recipient of this effect, not the agent of the effect. This is how they explained and tried to solve this problem and reconcile it with free will. However, the answer to this explanation is that this is wrong. We are of the opinion that even in the continuation of something's existence, this thing always needs God. It never becomes self-sufficient because poverty is something which is essential to God's creatures. In one of the verses of the Holy Quran, God says, "Ya ayyuhannas, antumul fuqara ilallah. Wallahu al-ghani." God is the being which is essentially self-sufficient. Beings other than Him are not. They're essentially impoverished. They need God in the continuation of their existence, just like they need them in their genesis. Just like they need Him in their genesis. So this resolution and answer is simply unacceptable. What is then is the acceptable resolution to this problem? We'll look at it, inshallah, in some of our forthcoming discussions. Until then, I'm Shiraz Arda. Thank you for joining us here once again on The Key. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
A new U.S. government study shows how some of the U.S. largest and most profitable corporations, including Walmart, McDonald's, Dollar General, and Amazon, feast upon taxpayer money by paying their employees such low wages that huge numbers of those workers throughout the year are forced to rely on public assistance programs such as Medicaid and food assistance just to keep themselves and their families afloat. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by John Quilly Ryder. This article is published under the heading GAO Study Shows How American Taxpayers Subsidize Starvation Wages of U.S. Corporate Giants. Here's the details of this article. Pinpointing a reality denounced as morally obscene by Senator Bernie Sanders, a new government study shows how some of the U.S. largest and most profitable corporations, including Walmart, McDonald's, Dollar General, and Amazon, feast upon taxpayer money by paying their employees such low wages that huge numbers of those workers throughout the year are forced to rely on public assistance programs such as Medicaid and food assistance just to keep themselves and their families afloat. According to a statement from Sanders' office, the study he commissioned the Government Accountability Office to carry out, titled "Millions of Full-Time Workers Rely on Federal Health Care and Food Assistance Programs," found that an estimated 5.7 million Medicaid enrollees and 4.7 million SNAP, that is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, recipients who worked full-time for 50 or more weeks in 2018 earned wages so low that they qualified for these federal benefits. In addition, an estimated 12 million wage-earning adults enrolled in Medicaid and 9 million wage-earning adults living in households receiving SNAP benefits worked at some point in 2018. Upon the study's release on Wednesday, November 18th, Warren Gunnels, staff director and policy advisor for Senator Bernie Sanders, tweeted, "The real looting in America is the Walton family becoming $63 billion richer during a pandemic, while paying wages so low that 14,541 of their workers in nine states need food stamps, all subsidized by U.S. taxpayers. Yes, the Walton family is the real welfare queen in America." According to the Washington Post, based on the GAO report, Walmart was one of the top four employers of SNAP and Medicaid beneficiaries in every state. McDonald's was in top five of employers with employees receiving federal benefits in at least nine states. In the nine states that responded about SNAP benefits, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Nebraska, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Washington, Walmart was found to have employed about 14,500 workers receiving the benefit, followed by McDonald's with 8,780, according to Sanders' team. In six states that reported Medicaid enrollees, Walmart again topped the list with 10,350 employees, followed by McDonald's with 4,600. In Georgia, for example, Walmart employed an estimated 3,959 workers on Medicaid, an estimated 2.1% of the total non-elderly, non-disabled people in the state receiving the benefit. McDonald's was next on the list, employing 1,480 who received Medicaid, or 0.8% of the total of non-elderly, non-disabled people on the program. At a time when huge corporations like Walmart and McDonald's are making billions in profits and giving their CEOs tens of millions of dollars a year, they're reliant on corporate welfare from federal government by paying their workers starvation wages, said Sanders in a statement. That is morally obscene. With the individual wealth of high-ranking executives and members of billionaire families like the Waltons who own Walmart, soaring even as frontline minimum wage employees and their families struggling to stay afloat amid the devastating COVID-19 pandemic, Sanders argues that the stark contrast should be a wake-up call for those who have refused to see how unjust and economically backward it is for the federal government, meaning taxpayers, to subsidize the cruel wages that massive profitable companies force the workers to accept. U.S. taxpayers should not be forced to subsidize some of the largest and most profitable corporations in America, said Sanders. It is time for the owners of Walmart, McDonald's, and their large corporations to get off of welfare and pay their workers a living wage. No one in the U.S. should live in poverty, Sanders added. No one should go hungry. No one should be unable to get the medical care they need. It is long past time to increase the federal minimum wage from a starvation wage of $7.25 an hour to $15 and guarantee health care to all Americans as a human right, he added.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on November 3, 2020 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, via video conference on the occasion of the birthday anniversaries of the Holy Prophet of Islam and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Greetings be upon them. And which coincides this year with the National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance and Unity Week. The Holy Quran addresses the leaders of the Kuffar and their followers in a different manner.
In one ayah, the Holy Quran describes these people as the Imams of Kufr. Fight you, the Imams of Kufr, for their oaths are nothing to them. The Holy Quran, chapter 9, verse 12. In one part of Surah Al-Qasas, God describes them as leaders inviting to the fire. And we made them leaders inviting to the fire, and on the day of judgment, no help shall they find. Chapter 28, verse 41. They drag the people into hell. In fact, the severity with which the Holy Quran describes the enemies of Islam and of the Kuffar is related to these orientations. all other people from among the kuffar, those who seek and cherish the truth and who do not show hostility, are the addressees of that beautiful and holy ayah. It grieves him that you should perish. Today, the enemy of Islam, the main enemy, those leaders inviting to the fire, is arrogance and Zionism. It is they who are confronting and fighting against Islam with all their power. The last display of this confrontation is the one that unfortunately took place in Paris last week. That indecent show that was performed in Paris is really noteworthy and significant.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
What kind of government is the French government? What policy does it have? This policy is the same policy that has offered shelter to the most violent and savage terrorists in the world, the terrorists who martyred a president in our country and his prime minister. They martyred the head of the judiciary branch, many members of parliament and executive and judiciary officials. According to the figures that are available, they also martyred about 17,000 ordinary people on the streets and in the bazaars. They're not ordinary terrorists, and they have sought shelter in France and Paris. That is why the French claim to be supporting human rights and freedom. The same government offered the most help to a bloodthirsty wolf named Saddam.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.